There are few words more well known than that beautiful poetry of Psalm 23. Whether we grew up going to church every time the doors were open, or rarely frequented a sanctuary, those words are familiar. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That many of us, whether we realize it or not, could say those words from memory if someone got us started. No pop quiz this morning. But we find those words everywhere. Like the beautiful choral composition by John Rutter, "The Lord is my shepherd." Or that unnamed character in the movie Titanic, who in the midst of the panic around the ship, he is reciting those words out loud. Or maybe it's Pink Floyd's song Sheep that quotes those words. Or the first line from Coolio's song in the 90s, Gangster's Paradise. We find those words everywhere. And whenever something permeates the culture that much, it is easy to lose sight of its meaning. That Psalm 23 is about the faithful love of God, which is the foundation of our faith. That we have heard so often about the still waters and right paths and walking through the darkest valleys, that we might try to read Psalm 23 again for the first time. We might look at different translations, perhaps revisiting the King James. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Or we might reach for a new translation like the Message. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. We might even go back to the original language, looking at those words in Hebrew, like the word soul, as in God restores my soul. It's the Hebrew word nephesh, the same word that we find in the story about creation where God breathes life into humanity. Or the darkest valley, as in walking through the darkest valley. It's the Hebrew word salmavit, talking about all of those shadows that fall across our lives. That we try to reclaim what is so familiar. It's like the familiarity of the dinner table, that nightly routine that we might have, as in God prepares a table before me. That perhaps we have similar routines every night. Someone's in charge of getting all the napkins and putting them at all the places. Someone else gets all of the forks or fills up the drinks. We all sit in the exact same seat every night. It is routine. But woven into our daily routines is the faithful love of God. That so often when we think of the words of Psalm 23, we think of a crisis, a moment of acute need where everything is coming apart. But those words in Psalm 23 can also shape the routines of each and every week. That we are providing still waters, showing right paths, and walking with one another through the darkest valley. That setting the table at night seems uneventful until we think about all of those people that we have shared the tables in our life with and how they have shaped our lives. that it echoes the faithful love of God, which also resonates with those words from the prophet Isaiah, a passage that we call one of the suffering servant passages, that the suffering servant is well acquainted with the hardships of life, those moments where we need one another the most, that the servant bears the pain of others. It is the faithful love of God. It is the shared journey that is inherent in the ways of Jesus. One of the most meaningful sentences that I have ever read is by John Carlton, who taught at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary more than a few lifetimes ago. But he writes, "I am learning anew what it is to live by faith, for where life matters the most and runs the deepest, our vaunted self-sufficiency matters the least." There are those people that make important cameos in our lives, like the cameo of a special actor that makes an appearance in a scene of a movie, that perhaps they're remaking a movie from 25 years ago and they have to recast another actor in the well-known role, but they ask the original actor to play a different part, to make a cameo in a small scene in the movie. There are those people in our lives who enter for a short period of time who make an impact on us in a very short scene. Maybe it was our best friend from the fourth grade who moved away at the end of the school year. Or our eighth grade basketball coach who we didn't see again once we went on to high school. Or maybe it's the person we roomed with on that college mission trip we took years ago. They are important people. But what about the main characters who are part of the ongoing story of our lives? They have to navigate every scene of the story, which is full of joy and hardship. That it is quite beautiful when friends or families or a family of faith hold hands through every scene of the story. Through all of the ups and downs, the mistakes and the successes, through all the moments where we have no idea what to do, we just hold on because we care so much. That somebody might have held our hand when we were growing up. During all those times when we doubted ourselves, where we didn't feel comfortable in our own skin, but they held our hand until we saw that we too are made in the image of God. Or maybe we've reached out to hold the hand of another in order to reconcile. After a season in our lives where we did not care for one another as we planned or hoped. Or maybe we just hold on to someone's hand because we have no idea what to say. But we want them to know that we feel their pain. And if we could, we would take it away. Or maybe we hold someone's hand in sheer celebration because of a windfall of mercy where the doctor gives us news far better than we ever expected. that where life matters the most and where it runs the deepest, our self-sufficiency matters the least. In the recent years, we have not been able to hold hands or shake hands as we once did. And we are thankful for all the ways in which the pandemic has improved. But even during that time, as a family of faith, we held hands with one another, even if it was not literally, in all the ways that we could, because where two or three are gathered, God is there. It's how we showed one another the faithful love of God. Because when two or three are gathered, there is joy and hope. And when two or three are gathered, there are tears and comfort. That when two or three are gathered, we find glitter on the fellowship hall floor after the Advent family workshop. And we find that feeling of indecision because the table is full of sweets at the annual dessert fellowship. That when two or three are gathered, children are racing down the center aisle for the children's period. And there is beautiful music and thoughtful words spoken on Youth Sunday. And there's that college student who says, "This place feels like home." And there's that question in Sunday school that catches us off guard because it opens us up to the love of God in brand new ways. That when two or three are gathered, there is hope. Because we know we're not alone. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That we hold hands with one another to echo the faithful love of God. I know we haven't held hands in quite some time, and perhaps we aren't used to moving around during worship, but I invite you to hold the hand of the person next to you or to move to be next to someone, even to reach over the pew to hold someone's hand. If you're not comfortable doing so, that is no problem. But I invite you to hold hands with somebody as we close in prayer. Gracious God, in all the ways that we cannot explain, we're grateful for this place and for its people, for people who greet us in the hallway on Sunday morning, for those who truly listen to how our week has gone, for those who prepare Sunday school lessons that provoke us to ask questions where we draw closer to you, for opportunities to serve, to share your grace with the most vulnerable, for what it feels like to sit in these pews and look up at these beautiful windows, for all the ways in which you meet our needs through the people of this place. We give thanks. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Shepherd. Amen.